playing it. We're trying to figure some stuff off out here while the records are playing. We've got Mike Schultz joining us here live.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I was asking Mike about some of the pictures before we...
We did a little blending of titles, and
that's
it got
where,
crazy.
That's where I got confused.
Yeah. Well, let's properly
understand. You know, I get it. I get why you were going, what?
What?
Excuse me?
Mike Schultz is here. He is the movie critic, and he's an editor at the River Cities Reader, and he joins us on Thursday mornings to talk about the pictures, the motion pictures.
The talkies. Yeah.
You really liked Elvis.
Man, oh man, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes, and there's not a boring scene in it. And I, like we mentioned last week, I don't care about him that much. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, it's like I recognize he's great, but man, there are scenes in this where just by nature of the way it's filmed and the sound quality, it's like, I get it now. I mean, I get like what in the 1950s, you know, people saw in him for the first time. It's like a planet exploding on your head. It's like, whoa, this was absolutely new.
Because by the time we were aware of Elvis, he was a bloated old.
Sure,
It didn't make any sense. But when you realize just how revolutionary
I mean, and we saw his, you know, his tacky movies on TV, the afternoon movie and stuff. And it was like, all right, what's the deal?
Yeah.
But they show like scenes of the 50s, like the first audiences that saw him, and it's people are losing their minds for understandable reasons. And then it gets to the best thing about the movie, actually, is it resurrects the Vegas years in a way where you go, that show must have been killer, at least early on, you know, before it got all sorts of sad. But it was, I mean, it's like thunderously emotional.
Okay, and so it does go as far as Vegas.
All the way to his death, yeah,
oh, it
absolutely.
Does, all the way.
And then 20 years after that, because then we follow Parker when he dies in like the mid-90s or something like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
Okay.
It covers like 50 years of history. But the Vegas sets were gloriously good. I mean, it was something else.
Now, Tom Hanks is a guy that everybody loves in every movie. He's won an Academy Award a couple different times. I've heard that his performance in this is kind of all over the place, and you kind of dug that.
Yeah. It's a cartoon at the end of the day. He's playing Colonel Tom Parker, you know, and he's got an unidentifiable accent.
Yeah.
It's from somewhere, which makes sense because, of course, no one knew where he was from.
It does make sense.
He sounds vaguely Polish and vaguely German, and it's like, I'm not sure what's going on. But the smart thing about the casting is that Tom Hanks himself, as you mentioned, is so inherently likable that you keep waiting for this guy to not be the bastard you think he is. You're like, and you can see why Elvis and his family would fall for it, because he's got that Tom Hanks twinkle in his eye that looks like, you know, and he sounds sincere-ish. So it was really smart casting to make him this loathsome character, you know, because you don't want to believe it.
See, I guess I thought this movie only covered the early years, but it covers the whole
life. The good stuff is the last half. And Austin Butler, I mean, that's got to be an Oscar performance. I mean, if Rami Malek can win for Freddie Mercury, but the things he does when he's playing like 40-year-old Elvis are unbelievably good. It was tremendous.
Wow.
I'd see it again
now
in a
heartbeat.
I'm so excited to see this
now. It was great.
How is it cut? I mean, is it...
It doesn't
make you nauseous.
No, not at all. This is the first Baz Luhrmann I've seen where the first 20 minutes didn't make me want to leave, because they all start super irritating.
Yeah.
And this one, it moves fast and the edits are fast, but it, like you're saying, it doesn't give you whiplash.
Okay.
It's totally bearable. It was great. It was so good.
I can't wait to see this.
I hope you enjoy it.
You also saw a movie called The Black Phone.
Yeah. That's the one about by Stephen King's child, who looks just like Stephen King.
A friend of mine was telling me last night, her review of it was that the movie was way better than it had any business being.
Yeah, that's fair. Because it's not like shocker material. It's like Stranger Things, really. I mean, it's set in the 70s, and so it's got kind of like period corn to it. But it's really about the kids who are in jeopardy. It's about a child killer who shoves a kid in a basement. And he gets phone calls from deceased children from the past who try to help him get out of it. But it really focuses on the kids and the survival instinct, and you like the kids a lot. And so it's got more heart to it. It's smarter than it needs to be. Visually, it's a lot more clever than it needs to be. The only thing I really didn't care for was Ethan Hawke, and it's not even his fault. He's just playing like a sing-songy, "Oh, I guess I'll have to kill you later," kind of guy. And it's like, we've seen this before.
Mm. You know?
But aside from that, it's great.
The Phantom of the Open.
Yeah.
What is this?
That's when you dig. That's about the world's worst golfer. His name is Morris Flitcroft. And in the 70s, he filled out a form to get into the British Open. He'd never played golf in his life, but he thought it looked like fun. And so they receive his application, and they're
because
like...
Because it is an open tournament.
Right, exactly. And so they receive his... And it's open to all professional golfers. So a woman receives it and goes, I've never heard of this, boss. Should we let him in? And the boss goes, who would lie about being a professional golfer? Let him in. Yeah. And he shoots a 121, which is the worst score ever recorded. And but they, of course, they're televising the whole thing, and people are just aghast at what's going on.
What is happening?
Yeah, so he becomes like a national folk hero for being the world's worst golfer.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, it's a great story. And then he re-enters it like over and over under disguises and different names because they refuse to let him play again. Yeah. It's delightful. It's a Britcom. And it's Mark Rylance and Sally Hawkins, and they're fantastic.
I'm reading
it's
here in your review some of the names he used. And this is true.
Oh, yeah.
1 year after his 121, he entered the Open as Count Manfred von Hofmannsthal. And then he entered as Arnold Palmtree. Arnold Palmtree?
Arnold Palmtree. And they got that application and went, all right.
Yeah, that works.
There's an Arnold Palmtree somewhere. It's a fascinating story done really well. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure it'll be streaming like any minute. It's good.
Well, I know that Cha-Cha Real Smooth is streaming, right?
Yeah, that's on Apple Plus. Not even worth getting into. I wrote the most Sundance-y Sundance movie of all time. It's a coming-of-age story about a kid just out of college who doesn't know what to do with his life.
Oh,
and
God.
He winds up falling in love with Dakota Johnson, and he's got parents who don't understand him. And it's and it's got a twee indie acoustic rock soundtrack. It's like every reason you don't want to go see a Sundance movie ever. It's obnoxious.
And then finally, good luck to you, Leo Grind.
Here's your movie.
Okay, see, this is where I got confused.
Well, okay, so I was sharing with Mike.
Because, we were talking about Elvis.
Right.
Right, and I was sharing with Mike that I had read somewhere that in this movie, good luck to you, Leo Grand?
Grand.
Good luck to you, Leo Grand. I had read somewhere that Emma Thompson is naked in the movie, and I shared here off microphone that I made a wish on a star a number of years ago, and it looks like it's paid off. And she's really naked. And Darren was like, why is she naked in front of Elvis?
That's an excellent question.
Because you didn't mention this movie. You were just basically...
I knew where you...
We're talking about Elvis, and all of a sudden he says, so Emma Thompson gets naked? And you're like, yeah, for like a whole minute. I'm like, and at this point, I still thought.
Thank you very much.
At this point, I still thought that the Elvis movie was just like the first couple of years of his career.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking.
Well, maybe she's like an old fan who wants to write.
Why is someone Emma Thompson's age getting naked in front of a 22-year-old Elvis?
That would have been horrifying. It made sense that you
having
were
said that,
confused.
She does get naked in front of a 20-year-old.
In front of a 20-year-old. Well, yes, she does. But mostly she does it for herself in front of a full-length mirror. It's about a 60-ish woman who's recently widowed and has never had an orgasm and wants to, and so she hires a sex worker to like take care of that for her. Uh-huh. And she's got like a list of the stuff she wants to do that she never did in her many years of marriage.
Yeah.
It's basically a two-hander. It's pretty well written, well acted. Emma Thompson's great. But yeah, it does feature a scene of her in front of a full-length mirror just accepting her.
No Elvis.
No Elvis. He might be on the soundtrack.
I'm here to
just
give you
accepting her body.
I'm here to give you an orgasm, lady. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's something.
You say in your review that this would be something that she could be considered for an Oscar for if it wasn't for the fact that it's a TV.
Yeah, it's a TV movie. Hulu? Is that right? I can't even remember
It is on Hulu.
Okay,
you are correct.
It's worth watching. I mean, she's tremendous in it. She's really good. And the guy who plays opposite her is good.
What has she not been tremendous in?
Nothing. I mean,
she's
everything.
She's our planet's greatest actress.
I'm not going to fight you on that.
God, I love Emma Thompson.
Did you see the Cruella de Vil movie?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
She's worth it alone, even though no one should want to see a Cruella de Vil movie. She's just tremendous. Oh, man. Yeah, she might be my favorite. I'm with you. She's great.
This week, we're sending you to see Minions, The Rise of Gru.
I got some Minions.
Oh, boy. Is this a half dozen now of these?
We're on like five or six.
Yeah. I mean, there's
between the Despicable Me's.
I think this is the sequel to the Minions, which was a spinoff of the three Despicable Me's.
I could not tell you what that movie was about to save my soul. Minions? I know I saw it. Yeah, I mean, it's about Minions, but I have no idea what the plot was.
I just remember Sandra Bullock is the bad guy in that one.
Oh, okay. I remember that too.
She wants to be like the Queen of England or something.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of coming back. Yeah.
I don't know about those voices.
And then you've got
drive you a little crazy.
Well, I mean, it's just not stop.
Yeah, they natter.
They natter.
I don't know.
Yellow lives natter.
I don't know how you do that.
Drive you nuts.
And then is Mr. Malcolm's List also?
Yeah, we're getting that too. Kind of a Jane Austen esque kind of period.
A young
drama.
Woman courts a mysterious wealthy suitor in 19th century England.
Yeah.
Boy, is that not Minions: The Rise of Gru?
And is that? That's a weird pairing for 4th of July weekend. Remember when we used to get things like Men in Black and Independence Day?
Yeah, that would be a...
Strange.
Yeah.
It is strange.
I mean, maybe...
There used to be a Transformers every other year.
You're right, 4th of July weekend.
Where's your 4th of July blockbuster?
Yeah. I guess they're just assuming everything. Well, I mean, last week, Top Gun was the top box office movie again 4 weeks later. 5 weeks later? That's crazy.
That's going to end after this week because we got Thor Love and Thunder opening.
Yeah, we do.
On July 8th.
I'm looking forward to that. That could be fun.
We will find out what you thought of Minions, The Rise of Gru, and Mr. Malcolm's List.
Clearing everything up.
Absolutely.
Mike.
Always appreciate glad to clarify. It. You bet.
He is Mike Schultze. He is the movie critic for the River Cities Reader. You can read his reviews in the paper, the River Cities Reader, or online at rcreader.com. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.